Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, joined right now by Tyler Donahue from Lions 247, who we are proud to call a weekly guest here, talking about Penn State, Kent State, looking ahead to Illinois a little bit. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. You can check them out at GoPSURV.com. A lot of good stuff there. Shuttle to the game, projection TV in the lot, free Wi-Fi, and tailgating with some great food and drink. So check them out at GoPSURV.com. Tyler, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so we're looking back. I want to ask you about Kent State a little bit before we get to Illinois. But, you know, the Penn State went 63-10 over Kent State. A lot of guys got to play. You know, as we're sitting here a couple days later, that's what I'm taking away the most is how many young kids got to play. What are you looking at, you know, now that you've had a chance to process this game a little bit? What were some of the most important things that came out of it for you?
I think it was pretty interesting to see seven new faces out there on the football field, and some of them making some big plays. You know, I think we're going to start to see these youth movement make an impact on the offensive passing game. We saw Daniel George, obviously, with a monster play, 95-yard touchdown. Don't know if he'll be the guy, but I just do have a sense that one of these three true freshman receivers, whether it's him, Jahan Dotson, Justin Shorter. By the way, it was good to see Shorter on the football field Saturday because he had been banged up coming out of camp. I just have a sense that one of those guys is going to make a move into the rotation. I would expect that it'll probably all be on the three deep, you know, moving forward throughout the season. But it's going to be up to them to make a move, and we'll see what injuries do. That was good to see. Zach Kuntz getting out there was interesting. 6'7". You know, I think that he's more of a long-term guy to look forward to. I will say one thing that really flashed, certainly not just for me, but for a lot of people watching this game, Jason Owe, you know, getting two sacks in his college debut. We have spoken so much about him being the high ceiling guy, long-term potential, still new to football. And what does he do when he gets his opportunity? Well, he brings the quarterback down twice. So that's got to be in the back of the mind for Penn State coaches as they evaluate his redshirt status. He's still got three games to go, but he could be a factor in the Big Ten schedule, and certainly in situations where you want to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I was asking Greg about that a little earlier in the week. Is what does a guy what needs to happen for a guy to change the coaching staff's mind? I think it's safe to say he was in that yellow category where they didn't think they would need him, but maybe they did. Maybe they didn't anticipate two guys retiring from that same position. And you know, I know it's Kent State. I honestly could not tell you whether he did that against reserve or starting tackles. And you know you can't really compare probably their starting lineman to Big Ten lineman anyway, but he looked like a natural pass rusher out there. And that's the thing, you know, I'm not looking at the sacks as much as the way that he got there. And boy, is he smooth and athletic. And we knew that about him, but we saw that translate to the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's up to 6'5", going up towards 250 at this point. And he's gotten a lot bigger since he first surfaced as a college football recruit. He was about 225, 230 pounds. Looking more like a lean basketball player. You watch him out there move. It looks like he could be like a stand-up edge rusher at that size. He's still got that basketball athleticism. So he's going to be an issue for tackles throughout his college career. But I'm with you. It's going to be important to see if he can maintain that impact when he's going up against, you know, the best of the best in the Big Ten. And we know what the schedule looks like moving ahead. So I think with him, Nick Tarburton, it sounds like they're going to put Nick Tarburton on the back burner for a little bit, preserve his last two games before they would burn a red shirt. And we'll see what they do with Owe, who has those three games. But, yeah, a lot of intrigue. And I said it before, I absolutely love this new red shirt rule. I think it's a major win for, personnel departments in college football. And I think it's a major win for young football players who get a chance to, you know, test themselves, see what they need to work on, get some film to evaluate. I just think it was long overdue, and I think they did it right.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it too, and I thought I would be a big fan of it, and now we're three games in, and this was the first real flavor of the redshirt rule that we got. You know, you saw some kids that you weren't sure whether they would or wouldn't redshirt, but this was a game where a lot of guys who you know are going to redshirt got an opportunity to play, and I'm a big fan of just letting them get some experience first. And you mentioned the personnel departments. It's going to smooth some transitions, really. I mean, four games, if you think about it, that's a fair amount of playing time if you manage it right.
Absolutely. And let's face it. I mean, we know Tommy Stevens has been sidelined. Justin Schroeder was banged up, as we said. Haven't seen Nick Bowers. John Reed has dealt with some injuries. Shane Simmons. But having said all that, through three games, we haven't really seen a lot of game injuries, you know, where guys are off the field and they don't come back. We've seen guys, you know, make their way back to the football field when they have suffered some setbacks from a health standpoint. But that won't carry over throughout the rest of the season. It's football. Guys are going to get lost because of these injuries. Could be for half, could be for a few games. And I think that's where you're going to really see the ability to plug one of these freshmen in, play a game where you need to rely on them, and then maybe tuck them back away for later again. It's going to be interesting, and you know, ultimately I'm sure they will surprise themselves with a player or two that do not end up redshirting, but I think they'll be able to get a lot of experience and preserve, you know, 4 years of eligibility moving into 2019 for several of these standout players.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hawks. We're talking to Tyler Donahue here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. Whether you're tailgating at a game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, they belong on your grill. They are supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football, it doesn't get any better than that. Don't forget to add the jalapeno relish as well. You can get yours at shotzisbrats.com or at the gopsurv.com lot every home game weekend at Penn State. I wanted to explore, you mentioned the youth movement idea, Tyler, at the wide receiver position. How do you see that unfolded? Clearly, there's a lot of good players in the mix there, and I think a lot of fans would say they want more out of that position so far, but how do you see the youth movement unfolding there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what position there.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, receiver. Yeah, well, I think DeAndre Tompkins, it was nice to see him make a statement and be that assertive veteran receiver. He stepped up, Brandon Polka stepped up. So those guys, you know, there's maybe not as many spots available for some of these guys to come and be, you know, 30 plus reception players. But I think it's very clear KJ Hamler in his first year may be the most important player in this offense because of what he's commanding out of opposing defenses from a coverage standpoint and just his ability to really go the distance on any play. I look around and I see potential for all these guys. I mean, Cam Sullivan Brown, unfortunately, did not end up in the box score because of penalty, but he almost caught a long-distance touchdown on his very first college catch. We know Mac Hippenhammer caught a touchdown on his first college catch, and so did Daniel George. I mean, to me, the story has always been Justin Schroeder. If he's healthy, I think he's just too special of a talent to leave on the sideline. We'll see how he's getting acclimated. Obviously, he's missed some time, and maybe he's got to catch up to some game speed. But he's somebody that I just think with his size, his quickness, his polished, abilities. I think he can make a real impact, and maybe that's someone who comes on strong towards the end of the year. And then Jahan Dotson, I mean, there's been the rumblings about how special he was during preseason camp. I think that his consistency as a route runner is really going to give him an edge. It's tough to tell, though, right now, because it is such a mix. I do think, you know, when you look at the top of this group, you know, the top four guys are probably pretty solidified with Tompkins, Johnson, Hamler, and Polk. But beyond them, you know, I think Hippenhammer has a chance to make a move here. I think Schroeder, Dotson. I mean, you really can't go wrong by naming any of these players because there's a reason they were blue chips coming out of high school, and they've all been on the field already. But I don't exactly know where it's trending, but I do know that these guys are going to make an impact. And again, if an injury happens, it could open the door for somebody that to have a monster kind of second half of the season. You know, the complexion of this group could look a lot different by the time we get to the end of October than it does here, you know, midway through September.
Along these lines, what has been your take through three games on the play of Juwan Johnson so far? I know that he's been circled by a number of people as needing to play better, and I think he would probably be the first to tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I think with DeAndre Tompkins, you know, busting out of his slump in a big way on Saturday, that's going to put a lot more focus on Juwan Johnson, who hasn't done that yet. You know, he led the team in catches heading into week three, but he was averaging a bit over 10 yards per catch, and he hasn't reached the end zone yet. He did against Kent State, but that was called back for a pretty obvious pick play. I think right now, you know, a lot of the expectations that were set were this is going to be the number one target, a potentially dominant guy when you look at his physical stature. He's come up big in key moments. Obviously the Iowa game, but he finished very well last year in Big Ten action, pretty consistently catching 4, 5, 6 passes a game. Haven't seen that this year. And you know, part of you gotta dial up the fact that defenses may be approaching him, trying to take him out of the game. But honestly, you know, there's some assertiveness that's lacking, you know, from the outside looking in, in some of these moments where he's getting one-on-one matchups and there's a clear advantage from a physical standpoint. But I'll tell you what, you know, like Trace McSorley would say, you know, they're not a complete package right now. They've got a lot of things to work on. They're still trying to get guys involved in the passing game that they haven't been able to click with thus far. But like McSorley also said at the end of that sentence, he said, we're not going to apologize because we're averaging about 50 points per game right now. So it's a pretty good place to be as you're figuring things out. But I think priority number one for this offense needs to get Juwan Johnson involved to where he can be the receiver who, when you need a series and you need a guy who can just dominate and catch 3 balls in that series, simply because he's outmatching the opponent, I think he's got to be that guy. And we haven't seen that yet in 2018.
On a little bit of a lighter note on this one, what's the better touchdown celebration, Trace McSorley's home run swing or the belly rub with Ryan Bates?
Oh, as a former offensive lineman, I got to go belly rub far and away. I absolutely go belly rub, and looks like they're having fun out there with that one. We got a few celebrations. I'm not quite sure what they are. Maybe we'll have to ask about that during upcoming media sessions. But hey, if you're celebrating, that means you're doing something right, and you're 3-0. So a little bit to smile about for McSorley and Bates and the whole crew heading into week number 4.
Real quick, now that we're going into week number 4, 30 seconds, just your take on Illinois. Any threat in this game Friday night? The shift in schedule, you know, the routine change that comes with it. I know James Franklin's not a fan, but any threat Illinois poses?
I don't see it. I mean, every Power 5, every football team you face poses a threat, of course, because they are loaded with scholarship athletes. But no, I think Penn State is in a good spot right now. I think they have a lot of confidence. They're in a much better place, in my opinion, from a confidence standpoint and from knowing what people's roles are and accountability than they were coming out of the Appalachian State game. So I anticipate them going, winning by several touchdowns. But you're right. You just got to be careful. 9 p.m. Eastern in Illinois on a Friday night. Going to mess with the internal clock a little bit. But I expect Penn State, you know, even if it's a slow start, to ramp things up, take care of business, head home, and have a couple extra days to get going for what we know is going to be a seriously epic showdown against Ohio State the final weekend of September.
There you go. Penn State, a 4-touchdown favorite to kick things off against Illinois. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We're moving on. Ask Greg is coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.